Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There it is. A little stand up and shout. Joe's going to be upset that he missed that tonight. Hour number two, Carver and Lisi here with you, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM. Channel 159, great job by Brady Cannon right there. Of course, as we get ready for the Players' Championship tomorrow, which is always a fun one. I will do all of my picks right before the end of the show, believe me. I want to do a little bit more with the basketball here. We'll have George then, and then after George, I'll give everybody, if you weren't watching Coast to Coast or just check it in, I'll give you what I've got, and I've got a lot for the Players' Championship that's going to go on this week. Okay, let's get you up to date here with some of the things that are happening. I actually turned on the Stanford-Cal game, and it's a hell of a game, honestly. And Stanford just made a bucket, and they were fouled, so we get a chance to go up 4-73-70. Stanford leads Cal, 27.5 seconds left in this game. This has been back and forth. Cal, of course, playing the double overtime game yesterday, the four overtime game with Notre Dame on Saturday. Stojakovic got blocked there. Peja Stojakovic's kid is on this Cal team. He's a pretty good shooter. What do you expect? Look at who his dad is. Mississippi State, the smashdown of the night. At least me and Joe were there for that one. 86-56, hammering LSU. American smash job on Navy. They're up 20, 67-47. American's going to go dancing. They'll be in the tournament. We mentioned to you about Stanford. They're up one. They're up four now, 74-70. Elsewhere, Rutgers getting run here. I mean, they're down 13. 31-18, USC leads with under 5 minutes to go in the first half. How gutless is this team? Honestly, Ace Bailey, 2-for-5 from the field, 4 points. Harper, 3-for-6 with 6 points. Like, I mean, how about getting some stops? I mean, it doesn't help. I mean, honestly, Matias, it doesn't help. Is USC going to miss any threes tonight? I mean, that don't help. Hopefully, that don't last all night. That's for sure. I mean, they've hit a ton of threes.
I changed it. I couldn't handle it. Lucky for you, you were talking golf with Brady. You didn't have to see the nightmare of the first 10 minutes. They went about 6 minutes without scoring a basket.
Maybe I'll change the mojo if I put it on. Nothing against you, but maybe I'll change the mojo.
No, UNLV we need won, anything helps.
68-59. They covered that halftime line, too. It was 5.5. 68-59, UNLV with a win over Air Force. We got this Oklahoma-Georgia game that's going to start also. And that's coming up. Now, the other game's not over yet. And we got time for that because LSU-Mississippi State are still playing. And Seton Hall and Villanova is going to start any moment. I think that's too many points. Wow, Stojakovic hit the three. What a shot by him. 1 point game, but they don't get him on the other end, so they get an easy bucket. 3 point game. 76-73, 11 seconds left, and Cal's got the rock. Just give it to Page's kid and let him fire again. They foul him. They're not going to let him shoot the three. Oh, but they give him a big screen. Oh, and he missed it. What happened there? Offensive foul. Oh, what is he doing? Too hard of a screen. I mean, he pretty much put the guy in the ground. Peja don't like it. They show him in the crowd. He's throwing his hands in the air. Oh, my goodness. And now the Gauchos also are down early here. The Gauchos against this Bakersfield team. You got to be kidding me. They better take care of business here tonight, Matias. We've watched the Gauchos a lot. They're coming off getting just... getting their doors blown off in the second half by the Anteaters the other night. So
for as long as I covered the Big West basketball, man, I got to say that Santa Barbara team is one unpredictable team when it comes to Big West playoff basketball, when it comes to making the tournament. Doesn't matter if they're first place, second place. They have a guy like Alvin Williams down there that goes to the NBA a couple years ago. You know, they just don't show up. You can't trust them in the tournament. As it doesn't matter what they do in the regular season, those Gauchos, they'll disappoint you in the Big West tournament. But you know who doesn't?
Gauchos.
Irvine does.
Yo, Irvine, don't disappoint in the tournament. Why is Anteaters? We got to get them in. They got to win this tournament because they're like right on the bubble.
They always win the tournament, Mike.
They always win the tournament. UC San Diego is good this year, though. That UC San Diego team is very good.
Yeah, they are good. I'm not taking away from them, but they don't make runs when it comes to the Big West tournament. You know, they haven't made a run to the finals. We don't see them in the tournament every single year. But, you're right, though. They are a good squad. I just want to see them do it in the tournament. Northridge could make a run in this tournament, Mike.
Northridge? No, I'm not in on Northridge. What's going on with the Suns lately? Didn't they get into – KD got in a fight with the Grizzlies the other night, right? You gave him the stare down. The Sutton kid. Now they're fighting with the Rockets tonight. Suns just trying to roll with everybody. Shane in Arkansas is on the over in USC, over 153. Yeah, I hope Rutgers starts lighting it up too, Shane. That would be very helpful if they did. Elsewhere, Thunder up 82-72 on the Celtics. A 10-point lead now for the Thunder. SGA's got 26. Remember I was bellyaching? He had 11 towards the end of the second half, first half? Yeah, he's working it now.
I just checked the box score, Mike, and right when I checked the box score, he throws up another three. So, the last time I checked was a couple minutes ago. It was 21, Mike. So, he scored five points in the last
26.
Couple minutes.
Let me see what they're offering you right now. You know, he's got 26. It's a close game. And he's still got a quarter and 5 minutes to go. Like, he might get a 50 tonight. Plus 880 for 50. Plus 880. Like,
that's far-fetched.
I feel like it's worth a cloak, man. Like, I really do. Like,
I think, what about 45? Maybe. What about 45?
Come on. You go big or you go home. Like,
well, 45 would be big too, right? Isn't 45 like in the plus 400 range at least?
Let me see. Let's see what they're giving you for 45. 45. It's like
that's attainable.
Joe now here with you. Joe's usually greedy. You're not being greedy. You need to be greedy.
I like attainable things.
All right, 45 is plus 320.
See, that's
get
nice.
45. All right, so we'll
exactly. He can't get 45.
See, my thing is,
I think we might need overtime to get the 50.
I want to put it with the golf, so I need to make sure that I have everything lined up here properly. All right, so we'll do that. We'll get you involved with. So let me.
That's a nice number. It's a great number. It's a great number to hit.
It's a great number. I don't disagree with you. It's a great number. I mean, Braves, Matt Fitzpatrick's 110-1 now. Man, his number's dropping like a rock. Jeez, what are we doing here? Some of these numbers, man. Unbelievable what we have for the Players' Championship.
I jumped in on the Flames. Let's go.
You jumped in on the Flames?
Yeah, I also took on first goal. Let's go. Click, 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 click.
You know, I remember I told you last night I took that Avalanche game. Remember I took the Avalanche down 1-0 going into the third against Minnesota?
Did they win the game?
They didn't win the game. They tied the game at 1, and then they lost in a shootout. So I should have, you know what? I went and looked at the start of overtime. Minnesota was plus 105. I probably should have shaved a little bit off, but you know how it goes, Matthias. Greed. Greed is what
you know. We should have just picked on your Islanders again. Boy, is that team dropping over here, West Coast.
They stink. They absolutely stink. The Islanders. So you really should have did that. Is what you should have did. All right. Harper and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We'll come back. We'll get George into a little football with him. He likes hockey tonight and more. We're back on the grid after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Corver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. That's like the smooth, like, 80s jazz. When you love somebody. That's what, like, that is right there from Matias, that rejoin music. Nice job there. Corver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Corver sans Lisi. Joe's out on assignment, as we've got a lot going on here. And always good to have back our good buddy, Gentleman George, George Kurtz. And I got up for a second during the break, and I walked back. I came over and I put the earpiece on, and all I heard was George saying how he's upset with the Islanders, he's upset with the Yankees, he's upset with the Cowboys, he's upset him. George is upset with pretty much everybody. Happy Wednesday, George. How are you, buddy?
Well, you know, Mike, since the last time we talked, things haven't exactly gone well, all right, for the teams I root for here, all right? And you root for two of them as well here, right? The Yankees lose Cole, and everyone's hurt but their mother now, and now the Red Sox are going to win the division, or maybe it's the Blue Jays, certainly it can be the Yankees. Then they're not going to spend any money because they're up against the tax. Oh, yeah, because they don't make money like the, you know, they don't print angry, right? And then the Cowboys, I mean, I guess they're spending money. They're signing free agents, but these are all depth free agents that no one cares about. All right, and he keeps trading away draft picks for guys who were thought to be good at one point. Like, all of a sudden, this coaching staff can revive these guys, and they got your boy Elam today for a cornerback, right? Yay! And then, of course, the Islanders,
he sucks, George. George, that guy.
Yeah, I know,
sucks.
He was terrible. He was ranked like 147th or 149th. All right, this guy's bad. He needs to change the scenery, whatever. You know, and then we got the Islanders, and I know you heard Lou on Saturday where, I understand we need to get younger and more talent. Well, then maybe you should have traded Palmieri and Pageau and Anders Lee and some defensemen here and cleared some cap space and gotten younger. But no, why do the smart
thing? And make no mistake about it, George. If Brock Nelson would have took a little bit less money, he wasn't trading him either. As good as the return was for Brock Nelson, he would have kept him if Brock agreed to whatever it was, 3 years instead of 5 years. You know, he would have absolutely not made that deal. And thank God he did, because if there's one thing that the Islanders don't have, it's young, dynamic offensive players. And that kid, Richie, that they got in the deal, 20 years old, it was their first round pick 2 years ago. He is a young, dynamic offensive player. So maybe Lou fell into that one. Because you heard him, too. He didn't want to trade him.
He didn't want to trade him.
Makes no sense, George. No sense that guy still runs the team. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Mike, would it surprise you at all if he re-signs Nelson during the offseason and they run it back again next year with the same team?
It's possible. It's possible. It would not stun me. Although I think that obviously, a lot's going to be predicated on what do the Avalanche do. You know, does that, you know, that I think that probably could. And there's been those rumblings that Brock wants to finish his career in Minnesota. Who knows how true that is or not. But I could absolutely see him coming back. But now I like how they, like, also tried to sell you, George, that, well, you know, we only got rid of one guy and we're still, you know, we're still in this thing, and we're going to, you know, we can make the playoffs. No, you can't. I'm making the playoffs. Team is not making the playoffs.
Who cares if you can?
Stop.
What, just so they get trounced by Florida? I mean, what are you doing here? I mean, what are you doing? They should have traded Lee. They should have traded Palmieri. They should have traded Pageau. All had offers on the table here. You get out from underneath those contracts, and you rebuild from there. And you have nine defensemen. Should have traded a couple of those guys too. They may not have brought back the same haul here, but you need draft picks. The Islanders need lottery picks. They need lottery picks, which is what a draft pick is. And hope you hit on a couple of them.
Yep. They absolutely could use them. Man, they looked good against the Kings last night. They had just a lot of goals. They suck. Okay, let's just call it like it is. The Islanders suck. We'll get to all of our other troubles in the next segment, George. Since we bashed the Islanders for a few minutes here, tonight, Red Wings up 4-3 on the Sabres. as they're about to end the second period. I'm showing here 1 second left in the period, so maybe they just got to drop the puck. It's over now. So they're going to the third. That's the TNT game tonight, the first game. The second game of the TNT doubleheader is the Ducks and Utah. And I got to tell you, Ducks got smashed last night at home by the Capitals. They gave up 7 goals. They lost 7-4. But I'm probably nuts, George. I think this number's wrong. I like the Ducks tonight. I know it's the second night of a back-to-back. Utah's a pretty good home team. But minus 290, Utah? They're hot. Fine. They're only 4 points separating these teams. I'm going to take a shot with the Ducks later on in this game in Utah tonight.
Going by the line, you're right. That's where you should be going here. But the fact is they played last night, and I hate betting on teams that played the night before against teams that haven't played. You know, Utah would be fresher here. And actually, Utah's not good at home. They're 12-20. They're bad at home. That being said,
They're good on the road, and they suck at home.
That's they're a wacky team. They're a screwball team. And I don't like doing this either, by the way, but I took Utah on the goal line here. But even that, I was laying 112 to win by two. So I don't love this play here. And by the way, NHL, great job on your national TV night of having six teams that had never had a chance to make the playoffs, right? We got Buffalo, Detroit, this game is Utah, Anaheim, Montreal, and whoever else I'm missing here. You do have Vancouver and Calgary, great. You got two wild card teams in there. Way to go, NHL, to really publicize your league tonight.
The West is kind of, these last spots. So Calgary's got 70. Vancouver's got 69. St. Louis has 69. Utah's got 67. So Utah's only 3 points back of Calgary for the last spot. So they've kind of kept themselves in. It's a big game. It's a big game for them. It's a big game for Utah. They need every point that they can get right now in this situation. And you mentioned Calgary's playing tonight against Vancouver. And then Montreal won in Vancouver last night. And now they're in Seattle tonight. Again, as a plus my dog, Seattle sucks. They're awful, Seattle. Not a good hockey team.
Montreal sucks too, but I like the over in that game. And Caulfield to score an anytime goal, I'll take that. I'm picking against all the teams that played last night. So I'm picking against Vancouver. I'm picking against Montreal. I'm picking against Anaheim. I'm going to go with that theme tonight here. I do like the over in with Montreal. I like the under with Calgary and Vancouver, as those teams just don't score goals here. Quinn Hughes is back for Vancouver tonight, though, so maybe he'll add some offense.
That is a little bizarre. You know, you got all three of those teams late night playing. One team didn't play last night. The other team did. You usually don't see them do that very often. Carver and Lisa, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We got George Curtis back in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159 on a Wednesday night on the grid. We're talking with George Kurtz. I want to do some football stuff with him. Rutgers got it to, if you want to call it that. 11 at the half against USC. 41-30 is the score there. Seton Hall down 11 already to Villanova, so they're probably going to get smashed. Stanford did win that game. Baylor won by 14. Oklahoma, Georgia about to start. UCF, Kansas about to start. Syracuse, SMU going to start soon. Big Sky final later, Montana, Northern Colorado. We'll get to that before we get out of here tonight. All right, George. Football now. Obviously, it's a lot of movement, free agent frenzy. I hate the dopey, early, whatever it's called, tampering, soft tampering, whatever they want to call it, legal tampering that they do on Monday. Just make that the day that you start. Why they do that, I have no idea. But either way, we've had lots of movement, and the quarterbacks always take center stage. So before you go hammer away at the Cowboys for what they haven't done, what do you think? Who do you think has worked out the best with all this carousel of quarterback moves, whether it's Darnold to Seattle, Geno to Vegas? Daniel Jones is going to compete in Indianapolis. It seems like everyone else is kind of being held hostage. What a surprise by Aaron Rodgers with what he's going to do. Your thoughts on the quarterback movement so far?
Well, if you're asking me who I think is the best at quarterback, can I say nobody? I mean, I don't get
you can.
Nobody. I mean, Geno Smith going to the Raiders, okay, he makes you better. I mean, you had Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. You and I could play quarterback. They'd be better, or at least not as bad as they were. So, okay, better. But what are you hoping for? I mean, Mahomes, Herbert, even Knicks, they all might be better than you. Geno Smith's a decent quarterback, although he does make those couple of head-scratching plays each game. We're like, what the hell did you see? What were you looking at? That sort of thing there. But he does make you better. But what are you competing for? I mean, you're not going to, I don't know if you're not going to make the playoffs. I don't even know if you're going to finish outside of third place, your best case in the division. And then you go to Seattle with Darnold. I thought Darnold signed light. Really surprised that the best he could do was $33 million, right? I thought he'd get
those
sort of
last
a Daniel Jones
couple
contract.
Games hurt him, George. Those last couple killed games him. Hurt him, I think. Killed him.
Might have absolutely killed him here. But they traded everybody away on offense, right? It's sort of an incomplete. I mean, I guess my answer would be Darnold, depending on what else they do, because, okay, JSN's still there. You still got Walker and Charbonneau, so you still have I guess some skill position players, but your offensive line sucks. All right, your defense is good, and you still got DeMarcus Lawrence from the Cowboys today, so they're sort of an incomplete for me. But if I had to choose one of them, it would certainly, I guess it would be Darnold. It certainly ain't Daniel Jones with the Indianapolis Colts. And by the way, Richardson, if you lose out, the Jones?
You can't lose to
retire.
Daniel Jones. You cannot lose the job to Daniel Jones. I get why he went there. He probably thought that's my best chance to start. I mean, because you figure he probably would have maybe started the year with Minnesota if he went back to there. But you know J.J. McCarthy's knocking on the door and he hasn't had a chance yet. Whereas Anthony Richardson's had some chances. And whether you think about him or not, that's not a concrete place for him. So maybe DJ thinks that if I can just win the job, that I can resurrect myself here a little bit. I'm very surprised, George, that these teams still let Rodgers run the roost. You know, basically Steelers and Giants are all just sitting around waiting for him now to decide where he wants to go before they can move on with their stuff. And, you know, you don't want Russell Wilson, that's for sure. But
desperation.
I think what the Steelers have done, Mike Williams back to the Chargers. Well, that's earth-shattering right there. Mike Williams back to the Chargers. There you go, George. I know you're excited about that. We'll get the bonus ball segment with George next, where he'll tell me what he thinks of everything that the Cowboys, I guess, have done. And then the Yankee landscape has changed a lot since me and George last talked a week ago. Carver and Lisi, Sportsman Radio, back here for this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Here with you on a Wednesday night. All right, George. I was looking at what the Cowboys have done. I guess we can constitute this really as not much. They've traded for linebacker Kenneth Murray. They traded for Kyrie Elam, who stinks, from the Bills. They signed Solomon Thomas, Peyton Turner, Jack Sanborn, Robert Jones, running back Javonte Williams. Remember everybody was yelling at them last year for not signing a running back? And now they have signed. But didn't Rico Dowdle go out the door? So really it was just – so they lost Rico Dowdle. I saw he signed in Carolina. They've lost DeMarcus Lawrence as well. He went to Seattle. So it seems, you know, some bigger names out the door, maybe some lesser names in the door. Not much work, really, all around. But the plenty of tweets from Micah Parsons about the 49ers ripping down all of their stuff. So Micah was very concerned about that as he was tweeting about the Niners.
He was. I mean, listen, I'm not going to rip the Cowboys. I'm done. All right. The guy said Jerry Jones is a charlatan. All right. He puts on an act. He doesn't care about winning. There's a great stat. The Cowboys, Mike, have not signed a free agent for more than $10 million a year since 2015. Okay. Mm. Jerry doesn't spend money. And people think, you know, the Cowboys are worth a gazillion dollars, but Jerry does not spend money. All right, he just doesn't dare. So, like I said, he's the owner. He wants to run the team his way, fine. As a Cowboys fan, you just have to accept it. Right? They're going to be bad this year. Probably, you know, 7-win team, 8-win team, whatever it might be, not make the playoffs. It is what it is. All the players you mentioned that they signed here, they're all depth players. or they all should be depth players. And don't get me wrong, you need depth players, right? Guys are going to get hurt. The problem is some of those guys are going to be, Kenneth Murray is going to be forced to start. All right, Sanborn forced to start. And that's not good. That's just not good, and that's the problem here. All those guys that you mentioned he signed, yet the Cowboys still need running back, offensive line help, a wide receiver, defensive line help, linebacker, and secondary. Yet he signed eight guys. It's just like I said, these are all bottom of your roster guys.
And it also seems like people just feel that it's automatic that they're going to take this kid Genty from Boise State with their first round pick to solve their running back problems. And he's a hell of a player, but the way things are starting to sound, George, he might be gone by the time they pick, the way that he's getting boosted and talked up the board right now. So running backs are like, remember 2 years ago, George, three years ago, running backs were like meaningless. It didn't matter. It seems like running backs are kind of back now after the year Barkley had and some of these other guys getting paid. Suddenly running back's important again to people, and someone gives the worth how high the Lions took him and how dangerous he is. So it seems like a player like Genty might go before the Cowboys even pick. What pick do they have, George? What pick are they at?
12. Cowboys are at 12. I don't think they were taking Genty. They're going to take Genty anyway. All right. Cowboys have a lot of issues, and running back is deep. You know, you can get a running back in the second, third round.
He likes shiny toys, George. He likes shiny toys, Jerry.
But where's McMillan going? You know, I think that's the guy to look at here. Cowboys need wide receiver help. I think if you could tell Jerry he can get McMillan and then whatever running back in the second round, he's going to do that. You know, that sort of thing. So I think if Genty does go, and people are thinking that he's going to go to the Raiders at 6, you know, and I don't mind that. You know, like I said, and then take the best player. Although, if you're the Raiders, by the way, you just signed Geno. Shouldn't you be taking a wide receiver at 6? You ain't got nobody there. Yeah. You know, so I wonder if what comes first? I think the Raiders take either McMillan or Genty. I do think they'll take one of the two here, in terms of which way they want to go here. In my mind, you know, running backs are still a little easier to come by than wide receivers. I would take McMillan. And if he does, then, you know, Genty might last, because who takes a running back? You know, Jets aren't going to do it. Carolina at 8?
I think the Raiders are one of these teams that's trying to lowball Cooper Kupp too. Like, they're trying to get him on the cheap. Everybody's trying to get Cooper Kupp on the cheap, and I think the Raiders are one of those teams. The Cowboys should be one of those teams too. Get Cooper Kupp on the cheap.
There are a lot of veteran wide receivers. Keenan Allen's still out there. I mean, Amari Cooper's out there. Cooper's not going back to Dallas, by the way. That'll never happen. Jerry Jones didn't like him.
No.
I think there's somebody else. The Hopkins signed today. So there's still some veteran wide receivers out there, though Kupp probably does top that list.
Yeah. All right, Yankees. So Cole finished. Done for the year, of course, with the Tommy John. He'll out a minimum half the year. He ain't be back anytime before July. Then you have Stanton. The Stanton stuff's funny to me. And look, I don't like to hammer away at Stanton because he does show up in October. So it's hard for me. You know, he's missed a lot of time since he's been a Yankee. But in the big moments, George, it's hard to deny. He's gotten hits when he's been out there in October. So I don't like to hammer away at Stanton like some do. But I'll say this. Why did it wait? If he had these problems in October, when the World Series ended, why did we not even attempt to address them until he showed back up in Tampa in February for spring training? And then he goes to New York to get the PRP injections. Cashman does a thing that says, he's not, surgery's like a last resort, not on the table. And then he tells you a couple days later this weekend, surgery, I'd be out for the year. That's an option. Surgery's definitely not. So I guess you could forget about, scratch him off the list too for this year as well. And they're going to get insurance money for Cole, but yeah, we're not spending that. We're just going to let you know that's not money we're spending. All of our help's coming internally, Cashman said. We're not going outside to get anybody.
And that comes with Steinbrenner, by the way. Because Steinbrenner said that this is your budget. We ain't spending no more. All right. But as soon as Cashman, I'm like, it always makes you throw up a little bit. And the Yankees make money hand over fist, right? And yet they don't want to spend past the I understand. Anybody they purchase right now is going to cost double, you know, because they're 110% above the luxury tax. So they assign somebody for $10 million, actually, of course, the Yankees $21 million. I get that. But you're the New York Yankees, for crying out loud. You're not winning the division right now. You might be a wild card team, but even that's not far from a guarantee. You mentioned Stanton. Mike, we can play a little game. Who's coming back first, Stanton or Hill? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I have my, and I, like you said, I sort of have my doubts that we're going to see Stanton this year. You know, it wouldn't shock me if we don't see him this year. You don't have a third baseman. All right. And you're really hoping, as far as the offense is concerned, that Goldschmidt has a bounce back, which is possible, I guess, but you can't really bank on that. And that your youngsters, right, Volpe, Wells, Dominguez, that they make improvements, right? That Volpe becomes maybe the player you thought, the hitter you thought he was going to be. I think Wells is going to hit 25, 28 home runs. I think he's, you know, he'll be fine here. Dominguez, you sort of need him to be a star. A star. And you keep screwing around with this guy as far as where you're playing him in the outfield. Play him in center field and leave him alone. Bellinger is not Paul Blair out there. All right, just leave him alone at this. So he doesn't have to worry about defense and think about defense. Let him hit. But the Yankees have a lot of problems here. We even talked about the rotation. And that's a – the Yankees have – I mean, Carlos Carrasco is your number six starter right now. I mean, it's not good.
I am stunned that they're the favorites to win the American League. Now, I get it. You can't change the Yankee price too much because everybody's going to hammer it. And then if they do end up making moves, maybe the book's going to get crushed. I understand why the Yankee number – doesn't move, but man, George, I cannot make any case right now for the Yankees. Forget about winning the AL. Like, now I think they'll make the playoffs as long as Judge plays 150 games, because the American League, they could, there's enough teams they can beat up in the American League that they'd probably still be one of the six teams that makes it. But I don't think they're winning the East, and I don't think they're winning the AL with the pitching that they're going to run out there every day. I don't see it.
If Judge gets hurt, by the way, it's all over the crying. You can start packing up.
Judge gets hurt, they miss the playoffs. They miss the playoffs if Judge gets hurt. That's if you, he'll be the cherry on top. They won't recover from that.
The only good news for the Yankees is that there's no great team in the American League. But they're in this category as well now, too. There's no great team. All right, then. Listen, if the Yankees can we all have the Yankee wish list, right, which is Sandy Alcantara. All right, because Miami apparently is going to move him at some point this year. If the Yankees can somehow get him, and I don't know how they would get him. Their farm system's not all that good. Maybe Miami loves Spencer Jones, Mike. Maybe they can deal around him or George Lombard.
George, great job as always. We'll see you again next week. George Kurtz with us here. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We'll come back. More to do.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back. Carver and Lisi, SportsGrid Radio, SiriusXM 159. Here with you on a Wednesday night in the grid. Nice job by George there. You can tell he's upset. SGA's at 30, by the way, Matias. I got to get to 45 unless there's like overtime or something. There's 4 minutes left in the game. You know, he sat for a pretty good amount at the start of the fourth quarter. And, you know, you needed the big push. But, it's a tight game. I mean, it's not – there could be OT at some point here. It's only a six-point game with 4 minutes left. If they get an overtime, we got an outside shot. But he needs 15 more points. And even if there's overtime, he'd probably need to get at least 8 here at the end in order for that to even have a possibility of happening. So,
I know, Mike. I saw that with George. I knew when he sat down for that long period of stretch and he got stuck at 26. It did hurt.
Didn't that's help. Why, hey. didn't help us. That's for sure.
It wasn't attainable. We got a 1-1 game in Calgary and Vancouver. Vancouver gets the first goal, bloody hell, but hey, Calgary ties it up.
Can we crack the whip here with Rutgers? They're down 9 now. 15 minutes to go. Can they make a push? I mean, can we make a little push here with Rutgers? Can we get something going? They have any energy at all?
I hope so.
Watch the game?
You know, I don't want to watch it because I've checked the score, and it's been at 11, it's been at 9, it's been at 8, it's been at 10. So, you know, if it ever gets under 6, under 5, I'll turn it on just because that's when I'll start to feel it again. But until then, I can't because it's too many missed jump shots, too many bad passes, too many turnovers, bad shots left and right. It makes my heart rate go too high and down, you know what I mean? I got to settle in.
I'm annoyed. I'm really annoyed with the Rutgers thing. USC is pathetic.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely pathetic.
They can't play defense, Mike. That's the thing. It's like they take bad shots. you know, you can't rebound, and then you give easy shots on the other end of USC, and you take another bad shot, you know, that no defense again, get straight to the rim, another layup for USC. You know, it's frustrating. It's just, you know.
Gauchos up six. Gauchos up six. The Gauchos are up six. Come on. Crack the whip here a little bit. All right, I said I would give out some of my player stuff here before we get out of here. Now, look, the card's probably going to get added to by the time I put the head on the pillow tonight. But the main event stuff that I do have, outrights, Justin Thomas, 22-1. I've seen some better ones, too. If you see, might catch a 25 somewhere. I'm actually going to look a little deeper here tonight, see if I can find a little bit of a better number. But I'm on JT. He's a former winner here. I like the way he's playing right now. I know that he's had some tough stretches with the putter. Maybe we can get it going. As we talked about with Brady, I'm on Matsuyama at 33-1. He has great history here, which it's very tough. Got most guys, it's hit or miss. But Matsuyama's pretty consistent. Maybe he can get it done. Irish Bear in Florida, you can't really get off the boat at this point because then he's just going to, you know, he'll end up beating you. So I'm playing Lowry in all four of these Florida events. We've come close in the first two. We're going to go on with him here this week. And he is playing the Valspar next week. I had no idea about that. So we're going to be on the Irish Bear for all four Florida events. Michael Kim at 90-1. That was a good click that I got late Sunday night. I've seen still some 75, 80s out there. He's playing excellent right now. Back that up. I'm going to play him for a 10 and a 20 also. I really do that with all these main guys. I do back those guys up. And Nick Taylor at 120-1. I think it's a silly number. Just based off of the fact that he's played well this year, good iron player. It's the kind of stuff that you need at TPC Sawgrass. And I told this too. I didn't have this on Coast to Coast, but I mentioned it with Brady. Hoagie's 300. Now, I like Hoagie more, first-round leader, which I got at 150-1, and play him for a 10 and a 20, 40 even, too. The number's going to be good enough. But Hoagie's the type of player who plays well at this place. Aberg. Oberg plus top five plus 320, Rory top 10 plus 105, Sepp Straka top 10 plus 360, Spieth top 20 at plus 200. Spieth's upset that he didn't play last week at Bay Hill. I think he's going to play well. Harmon finished second here last year, top 20 at plus 270. The Gim Reaper's got great numbers here as well. Doug Gim top 20 at plus 280, and Joel Damon, as I said to Brady, top 20 at plus 410. Well, no, I play all mine with ties. I hope that you do as well. First round leader bombs. I'm playing Fleetwood at 45-1, Cantlay at 50-1, Aaron Rye at 70-1, Ryan Harmon at 81, Doug Gim at 90-1, Andrew Novak at 100-1, and Tom Hoagie at $150 for them. I had some props as well. We are playing the hole in one on 17. That is, listen, when you got an iconic par three, which everyone roots for hole in ones on, we do it at the Waste Management, Adelaide with the watering hole. There's a few others. And that includes Masters, of course. That includes the 17th Island Green at the Players. We'll root it in. Plus 145 for the yes. A lot of books have boosts for that. So make sure you play there. Playing Justin Thomas, top pass champion, 6-1. Rory and Scheffler, obviously ahead of him, are the main competition. But maybe we can get JT in the mix. Gracerman, top debutant at 9-1. Brady's right. He leaves you hanging a lot. But look at the list of debutants. Good chance for Gracerman to be the top one. Nico Echavarria, top South American player at plus 240, and Nick Taylor, top Canadian at 4-1, plus 400 for him. So that is our card for the Players Championship, which gets underway in the morning, very early, of course. They will start that. Is this a one-point game
big
here,
news.
Matias? 48-47?
Big
Are they
news.
Making a push here?
50-47. 50-47. 50-47. Let's go. We're down three. Down three.
Get away. Get the big fans
Let's
up.
Let's go. Let's go.
Here. Here we go. Got to get involved. Here comes Rutgers. We got to get in the mix here. Let's go, baby. Now we're talking. 108-102. OKC leads the Celtics here with 2:55 to go. Jaylen Brown fouled out of this game. Not easy to guard SGA, that's for sure. So we have a tight one there. Man, this Sixer team. You know, could we get Quentin Grimes with
29? Mike, we got an old school fight. We got an old school center fight here in the NBA. Yeah, the big Plumlee on Phoenix gets in a fight. Wow, a big fight. But, you know, they jack each other down with Steven Adams from the Houston Rockets. A good old-fashioned seven-footer big center, guys.
I did see a clip of that.
before Steven Dragging Adams back down. In the mix. Quentin Grimes has 29. Played him for 30, Matias, and there's only a minute and 30 left in this game. I'm going to get left with 29 points by Quentin Grimes.
I could see it. He's going to start end at 29.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. We're back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sirius XM 159. Game over. Grimes 29. That sucks. That was a good hit, too, for him for 30 points. Good hit. 29 points. He took a billion shots. Can't say the volume wasn't there. That's what I always say to Joe, right? He had the volume. Guy took... how many shots he take? He's going to get this right. Grimes, 11 of 23 from the floor. 2 for 8 from 3. 29 points. He can't complain when the guy takes 23 shots. He had a chance. Had a chance for it. That's for sure. T-Wolves, Nuggets, and Knicks, Blazers, of course, coming up later tonight. Last check of everything going on in the college before we get out of here. Still a three-point game. USC 50-47 over Rutgers. Villanova up 15 on Seton Hall. Georgia out to a 20-14 lead on Oklahoma. Kansas out to a 22-21 lead on UCF. Syracuse up 11-10 on SMU. I like Montana tonight getting 2.5 against Northern Colorado in the Big Sky title game. And the Gauchos are up too, right? Yes, 32-25 at the half. Now, tomorrow, there's so many. Tomorrow is the biggest day of championship week. Pretty much every tournament's got four games, two in the afternoon, two at night. It's absolute craziness. So me and Joe are on tomorrow night, and we're going to have wall-to-wall games. We're going to be really yelling at each other tomorrow night.
One point game.
Right. Come on.
50-49.
15-2
run.
50-49. Tomorrow, early games here. Noon East tip for ACC. Duke laying 22.5 against Georgia Tech. St. John at noon East, 12.5 over Butler. Really good game in the Big Ten. Indiana and Oregon. They played a great game about 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half, 2 weeks ago in Eugene. It actually was last week. It was last Wednesday night, if I remember. -1.5 for Oregon. To start the day, Iowa State BYU, they played a hell of a game a week or 10 days ago in Ames. ISU -2.5. BYU beat them that night at their place. That's going to be a fun game. Arkansas Ole Miss early tip at the SEC. Mississippi Ole Miss -3.5. You got some MAC games early. You've got some American games. South Florida, Wichita is early as well. Davidson St. Louis at the A-10. Northwestern Wisconsin. Marquette Xavier, Marquette -2.5. I don't like Xavier there. They need the game. North Carolina -5.5 against Wake. Houston's laying 17.5 against Colorado, playing their third game in 3 days. They've had a couple of upsets here. They beat TCU. They beat West Virginia. They're not going to beat Houston. Can they cover 17.5? New Mexico's laying 14.5 against San Jose State. Texas getting 6.5 from Texas A&M. Boise and San Diego State. Now, that's a hell of a game at the Mountain West. The second game of the day, I think that is. -1.5 for Boise. Iowa, Illinois tomorrow night while me and Joe are on. Baylor, Texas Tech. Stanford, Louisville. Mississippi State, Missouri. DePaul, Creighton. LaSalle, St. Joe's. Purdue's going to play the winner of this USC Rutgers game. So there is just wall to wall. UNLV, Utah State tomorrow night at the Mountain West. So there's a lot of games tomorrow. You said Northridge. Northridge is playing the winner of this Gaucho game, Matias, tomorrow night. Northridge gets involved out at the Mountain West.
Northridge having a big year for their basketball program this year, Mike. Big year for that Northridge basketball team, who's usually a losing program. They got a lot of wins. They're up there with the top of the table. Do they think they're definitely a hopeful bunch to make to win this tournament? It's all about winning the Big West. Everybody in that conference knows that. You can't get into the tournament unless you won the Big West tournament. That's it.
You got to be able to get there. That's the only way you're getting in. Although I've seen some people that have the San Diego Irvine loser being one of the bubble teams in the last four out. So anything's possible.
That would be historic.
Those teams.
Historic. If that happened.
Big West getting two teams in a tournament would absolutely be historic. Like for that conference to get two in.
But you know what? It all comes down. They'll leave them out and they'll probably put a team
like
Oklahoma.
That's the thing. Me and Pharrell were saying this today. Like, there's so many brand names on the bubble that they have a chance to put brand names in Dayton on Tuesday and Wednesday night in North Carolina, in Indiana. You know, all these teams that they're going to take those over the Anteaters or San Diego any day of the week. They're going to take them over to those teams. Matias, great job as always. Great job by Brady Cannon and George Kurtz. We'll be back tomorrow night. Joe will be back with us. Tons of college basketball wall to wall. And round one of the players will be in the bit. Books Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Cash some tickets. See you back here tomorrow on the grid.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.